gentlemen, good afternoon once again. That was a lovely lunch, everything nicely arranged by the organizer, so thank you for that. We're going to head a 30-minute panel. I'm heading this panel and try to coordinate and make it as interesting as possible. We have the pleasure of having with us Dr. Dorota Lost-Siemienska, hope I got that right, Director of the Legal Affairs and External Relations Divisions of International Maritime Organization. Dorota is the Director of Legal Affairs and External Relations Division at IMO, where she leads the activities of the division on various complex and topical subjects of international maritime law and treaty law. Lawyer by studies, right? Yes. She oversees development of tools for the enhancement of the organization's legal and external relations work. And she also manages the depository functions of the organization, serves as the secretary to the IMO Legal Committee, and provides first-line support to the Secretary General in his capacity as the Secretary of the Council and the Assembly. So, quite a lot of things. So, Dorota, thank you for being here. Nice to have you. And also, Ms. Fotini Ioannidou. She is a director in the European Commission, DG for Mobility and Transport. Fotini is director for waterborne transport in the Director General for Mobility and Transport of the European Commission since June 2023. And she's currently dealing with maritime safety legislation, coordination of all EU submissions to IMO, including on the greenhouse gas file, port strategy, maritime policy, and logistics. So also quite a lot of things on her plate, and she joined the Commission back in 1994, so plenty of years of experience. So I'm happy to say that both ladies are not only experienced, but they're dealing with many things that they will be able to share some interesting things with us. As I said at the beginning, my ambition is, through these questions, to have the position of both ladies and both organizations. Learn something new, clarify things that probably are on the air, and hopefully have a discussion and get things going. So, without any further delay from my side, giving the floor to the ladies, the first question is a little bit generic about shipping in general. What are the biggest challenges for shipping at this point from your personal point of view? I mean, We all know that decarbonization will come up as one of them. I think it's no secret. But we want to start a little bit generic and see what is from your personal point of view. So shall we start with Dorota?
Thank you very much, George. Good afternoon, everyone. It is really a great pleasure for me to be here. This is my first time at the Capital Link conference, and I find it really, really fascinating. Yes, George, as you said, of course, decarbonization is the subject for this year, but personally for me, the issue of seafarers is always the most important. The Secretary General on many occasions expressed how seafarers are important to us. And with respect to the well-being, fair treatment, and abandonment of seafarers, all those subjects are on the agenda of the Legal Committee. We will be discussing towards the end of March the spike in abandonment cases. We have reported last year, 2024, 312 abandonment cases that concern thousands of seafarers. We will be analyzing the causes, the reasons, and how to address this issue. We are working honestly, day and night, to assist those seafarers, to organize repatriation, to organize help with our partners, with ITF, ICS, flag states, port states. But it is very concerning that those cases are really growing. The other issue was mentioned already today, which is the shortages of seafarers, how to attract young people to the profession, how to promote the maritime professions among the young people. This is also a challenge. And overall well-being of seafarers and the criminalization of seafarers. Again, in many countries, we see more and more cases in which the seafarers, being a very easy target for law enforcement, are the first one to be arrested whenever drugs are found on board. Very often those seafarers have absolutely nothing to do, no knowledge about the smuggling, but they are, because they are the easiest target, they are simply arrested and kept imprisoned without any trial for months, sometimes years. And this is also extremely concerning for us. Another very concerning issue and growing cases of fraudulent registries and fake flags. Another item that is on the agenda of the legal committee, but also other organs of the organization discuss this. The newest ones are San Martin, Timor-Leste, and Matthew Islands. If you know about where Matthew Islands is, there is the newest registry. They are growing like mushrooms. And again, we are looking into how to combat this phenomenon and how to strengthen the cooperation and collaboration among states to prevent those registries from existence. We also have substandard shipping, which is also related to fraudulent registration and illicit practices in the shipping industry, and this results in casualties. We recently had some oil spills and some very concerning cases. Security threats and the situation in the Red Sea. Luckily, we did not have any attacks since November, so let's keep our fingers crossed that those attacks will not repeat. And something that is more on of an optimistic nature, and it was also mentioned today, automation and digitalization. Hopefully the new technologies, AI, and the developments in this respect will help to improve safety, security, and overall operation in the maritime sphere.
Okay, that's quite plenty, so I'm quite serious. Just a clarification for seafarers, just to clarify for everyone. From what you say, we understand things are getting worse, not better.
That's the picture that we have now. We have a lot of collaboration with our partners, as I said, ITF and ICS mainly, to look into the root causes, why the happiness of seafarers is derogating, and what are the root causes of this situation.
Clear. Thank you very much. Fotini, from your side?
Yes, in fact, Dorota, well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. Dorota has covered many things, and I would just echo that we absolutely agree on the importance of taking proper action to ensure the well-being of seafarers in all the areas she has mentioned. I would like to highlight that from our point of view, the geopolitical situation is a very important one, a very important challenge for shipping. Shipping has always adapted, but what we have seen in the case of Red Sea is really a case of concern in case this is repeated by other actors. Even if the situation is improving, we have a big issue with what we call the dark fleet. This fleet of substandard ships that escape any regulatory oversight, and that they are really posing a big threat to European coastlines. Of course, we have trade protectionism or trade wars, and all this is going to have an influence on shipping. But this geopolitical situation means that now more than ever we need a maritime sector, the whole cluster, to be really resilient and adaptable, and that we need to think it through proactively so that we can make sure that, speaking European now, that our security of supply is not interrupted. Then the second point lies, well, I would like also to say that in this Commission mandate, there is a growing importance, and understandably, on whatever concerns security and resilience and our strategic autonomy. And that's why we are going to prepare a strategy concerning ports, for instance, so to make sure that this aspect is well covered. When it comes to decarbonization, of course, this is possibly the biggest challenge from all. Many compare this transition to the change from sailing by wind to sailing by steam. This is a huge challenge. As Europeans, we have taken bold steps so far, and we are going to discuss it further down. But one thing that is important for the audience to know is that under this Commission mandate, what we are going to look at very, very carefully is to combine, to make sure that our decarbonization efforts bring in competitiveness as well as growth for our industries. And this is, of course, also valid when it comes to this important industry.
Okay, thank you very much. And since you've mentioned the elephant in the room, decarbonization, I will start probably from you again, Fotini, about the next question, which is about decarbonization. And if you can both tell me, Fotini from your side in European Union, Dorota, you from IMO, how do you see the current regulatory landscape? And I mean, what are the next steps and what are your expectations as well?
Want me to start? Yes. Thank you for the question. Indeed, as EU, we have adopted a very, let's say, bold framework to decarbonize shipping. We have a set of three or four legislations that I understand the audience is quite aware about: the fuel EU maritime, that is trying to set limits, progressive limits on the greenhouse gas emissions on board. We have the emission trading scheme that is covering maritime since last year, and we have a legislation covering the aspects of infrastructure, which for now is only imposing obligations on power supply as of 2030. The framework is quite unique worldwide. Our efforts so far are really focused to ensure a proper implementation of this complex framework and to support industry and everybody involved in this undertaking in order to analyze and reply to practical questions. We are trying, because simplification is another important objective of this Commission, to look at ways to further streamline reporting obligations, etc. This will be a big, let's say, discussion, and I would like to call the audience here in case of practical problems, please do let us know, because there are areas that we certainly need to improve. This is something that is a bit inevitable. We have some inconsistencies in terms of, for example, regulated entities is different from the emission trading scheme to fuel EU, and we are identifying more and more this type of issues that we want to address in the next revision clearly, because our objective is to achieve our targets in the less burdensome way for the industry. So we want to go towards an effort of simplification, and the input from the industry stakeholders is important to us. Then, of course, the big thing that is coming up in the next 2 months is the discussion, the hopefully historical and good decision that IMO will be taking. We have, even when we were taking these measures at EU level, we have always said our final goal is to have global measures. So you know that in terms of IMO as EU, we are advocating for a fuel standard similar to the one we have in the EU, similar to the fuel EU, and an economic element. We have been working intensively, Commission and Member States together, to reach out to all the partners, all third countries, and we are very glad that we have now let's say quite allied support with 51 states and organizations supporting the economic element, which we find very crucial. Some of them major flag states. There is a lot of work ahead of us, and a lot, not a lot of time remaining from now to April, but for us it is super crucial that we achieve an agreement in April, a good agreement that will really satisfy what we have promised in the IMO greenhouse gas strategy. And of course, we stand ready to do everything to help the IMO. We will be constructive partners. We are trying to discuss and prepare for such agreements.
Okay. I'm keeping also that targets are the proper implementation regulation, but also improve and streamline, and an invitation for any problems to approach and highlight them, basically, with the ultimate goal of having global measures, right? Thank you. Dorota, from your side, and IMO's view, what is your input? Next steps, current regulatory landscape, and expectations, please.
Yes, so I will come to next steps, and Fotini already highlighted the next steps. But before I do that, I would like to quickly take us back at what has been already achieved, because we were kind of painting here a picture that how difficult it will be to achieve more, how challenging it is, and so on. I would like to highlight what has been already achieved globally. And here I will say something that is absolutely obvious, and we all know that 90% of goods are transported by ships, and shipping contributes less than 3% to global GHG emissions. So this is already why and how has this been achieved. Shipping is really, and the maritime is really pioneer in the protection of the air pollution. The protocol adopting so-called MARPOL Annex 6 was adopted as early as in 1997. It entered into force 20 years ago in 2005. It has currently 180 states parties, so the most of the tonnage is compliant with MARPOL Annex 6. Throughout the history, throughout the 20 years of Annex 6 existence, we have introduced the energy efficiency design index, the carbon intensity indicator, the IMO 2020 sulfur cap, related emission control areas, and for NOx and SOx substances, the energy efficiency existing ships index. So these are the mandatory measures that have been already introduced, and they are binding on most of the fleet. Then 2018 initial GHG strategy and and 2023, the revised GHG strategy were adopted. The ambition is, as we know, to reduce the GHG emissions by 40% by 2030 and to achieve net zero by 2050. It was already mentioned today how this can be achieved using alternative fuels, the alternative sources of energy. So this will be in the foreseeable future on the agenda of the IMO various meetings. Also, there is a proposal to start looking into the liability related with the alternative fuels. So we will be considering this again during the legal committee. I'm quite sure that this output will get some support. We are now analyzing and looking for resources to identify the risks related to alternative fuels and pollution caused by alternative fuels. And of course, each and every fuel poses different risks and different liabilities. If you are talking ammonia, methanol, hydrogen, so we are analyzing and assessing each and every risk, how this will impact the insurance market, and therefore how to build the liability regime around all those factors. So that is for the foreseeable future. The measures that Fotini mentioned and that are right now under development at IMO will be discussed at the intersessional GHG working group, and then MEPC 83 is meeting in April. And this is the time when the amendments to MARPOL have to be finalized. They have to be circulated 6 months before the adoption in October 2025. The foreseeable entry into force will be 2027. We don't know the final shape of those regulations, so we have to wait a little bit to know what will be the outcome of the global negotiations.
Yeah, April is not too far away, so yes. Thank you very much. I agree, it's been a long history and many measures. And I think everybody in the room know the history and have seen how difficult it was and how we have managed to achieve all these targets. Okay, so this is basically what you're expecting and what are the next steps from your point of views. Now, there are definitely obstacles and there are definitely certain challenges for decarbonizing shipping. From the positions that you have, what advice and proposals would you give, and what do you think are the biggest challenges for decarbonizing shipping? Would you like Fotini to go first?
Yes, thank you. Certainly the biggest challenge is related to fuels availability and price. and what we see is that even if we have a fully fledged framework and we have flanking measures in place, like the creation of a renewable and low carbon alliance that is gathering all stakeholders, including fuel suppliers, including banks, we do see the need for doing something more in order to address this question. So one of the initiatives that has been announced in the context of the Competitiveness Compass, and that's going to come this year, is what we call a sustainable transport investment plan, which is going to give a roadmap for each mode of transport and biofuel in order to have a strategic view from a European perspective on the development of fuels, but also it's going to examine which type of financial instruments we need in order to help close the price gap, because clearly what we need is to scale up the production. Is a cry we are hearing from the whole industry. It's not only on maritime, it's also on aviation, but these two transport modes will be the particular focus of this sustainable transport investment plan. Nevertheless, what is also clear is that we are rather not the ones that will do the technological choice. So this means that it is important that industry, shipping industry, engages in a dialogue with ports. There will not be all the fuels in every port. So the question of discussing the perspectives of its party and developing long take-off agreements is the one, once we have resolved this, that is important. The second, the second aspect that is super important is, of course, the costs that are linked to this transition. Commissioner DG Costa said 40 billion every year. And the costs are, of course, linked to the fleet, but they are also linked to large investments in ports. What is very clear is that we do have some funding instruments at EU level that, for instance, fund the deployment of infrastructure linked to the onshore power supply. We are looking at the question of ship financing. We do see that a big problem for the renewal of the fleet will be the lack of proper financial products in Europe. And this is something we would like to tackle in what we call a maritime industrial strategy that is going also to come this year. And of course, the question of upskilling, the reskilling of seafarers. But
yes, the training and upskilling of seafarers is a big topic. However, because we don't have enough time, and in order to respect the time and the program, we will close with a reply from Dorota on this question of what the biggest challenge from your point of view? And yes, please, Dorota.
So, of course, I totally agree with everything what Fotini said, and I can only echo her intervention. First of all, the important thing is to achieve global consensus. Without everybody on board, there will be no decarbonization. So we have to achieve global consensus in the negotiations. Then the other aspect is safety. We are still analyzing the safety risks related to using alternative fuels, like, for example, ammonia, and what this can mean for the industry and for the seafarers. There is an estimate number of 800,000 seafarers that need to be trained in order to deal with new technologies and new fuels. So these are, I think, the biggest challenges, but I remain optimistic. I very much hope that we will achieve global consensus and that everyone will be on board. So to say all hands on deck and let's achieve and let's work on the consensus.
Okay, thank you, ladies. And before we close and thank you, I'll just basically sum up just two or three points that basically I see that we all agree that it has to be global consensus and universal basically regulations. Seafarers is an issue, especially with the upscaling, that's a large number that you quoted. Finance, big issue, and of course, risk of certain technologies in implementing them. At this point, I would like to thank the two ladies. Please help me with a clap. Thank you very much. And ladies, thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.